praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Talk to us today about the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me that God would just help our faith here today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the measure of faith. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Jesus, for the challenge that we have before us. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. God, you've always been there. You've always been faithful. You've always provided. You've always made a way. And God, I pray that you would touch us here today, that we could take that step of faith in whatever it is that you're leading us to do, Lord, and however you want to use us and work through us in this city and in this surrounding area. In Jesus' name, help us to realize the measure of faith that you have given us and help us to put it to work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give Jesus a hand clap of praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. Praise the Lord. I just feel like giving y'all a high five. Would that be okay? Wow. They're all in unity. Praise the Lord. That was good. Let's try it again here. Amen. God's working. God's moving. How many of you here today were not here 1 year ago? Would you raise your hand? Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. That's exciting. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many of you have a little space on the pew beside you somewhere and you're believing that this year God's going to help you bring somebody and next year at this time they're going to be able to raise their hand and say, I'm new too. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, God is able. God is wanting to do the work, but he's looking for somebody that'll say, I've got a little faith and I'll do whatever it takes to see it come to pass. I'll witness. I'll invite somebody to church. I'll pray a prayer of faith. I'll give by faith. I'll do whatever it takes because I want to see revival and I want to see the answer that God has for me. Paul talked about the church as being one body in Christ. One body in Christ. We just read where he said, so being we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. So we're together in the body of Christ. He also wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12, he said, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So it's a blessing to be together in the family of God. We're part of one body. And it's a blessing to be in unity. It's a blessing to be worshiping and working and serving together. And God has designed for all of us to have our place in his body. Romans 12 and 4 of our text, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." And so there's unity and diversity in the kingdom of God. There's unity and diversity in the body of Christ. Just as our natural bodies are in unity, hopefully the body of Christ here today is in unity. There's so many different parts that make up our natural bodies. So many functions so many systems. And while they work together in unity, it doesn't mean that everything is uniform and the same. And just like that, we are all different. We all have different personalities. We have different abilities and talents. We have different ways of seeing things. We all look different. Some of us got black hair, and some of us got blonde hair, and some of us have gray hair, and some of us might have no hair. But we look different. We come from different backgrounds. We have different ways of looking at life. But how powerful it is when all the different parts of the body work together in unity. Praise the Lord. Have you ever started up a car? And maybe it's not so much these days, but do you remember starting a car and having a cylinder that was missing? And boy, you hear that, and that car is not running in unity. And not running in unity. And I had a. This is not anybody from our church, but I had somebody work on a car recently, and they weren't able to fix it. And so they said, "Well, come on." And I went by to pick it up. And Brother Tucker, thank God for you, because I was in trouble. When I picked up the car from that place and tried to start it, it went pop, 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 pop. And I started off, I said, "Well, here I go, I don't know." And I was just trying to get it to Brother Tucker. And I started driving around the block. I thought, I cannot make it. This thing is not going to make it. Brother Tucker got it. He said, they didn't even put it back together again. It had spark plugs and stuff just laying up there underneath the hood. That engine was not in unity. And you can't get very far when things are in disunity. But we are together, and how powerful it is when all the different parts of the body work together in unity. And that's possible because of what we have in common. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is our common ground, and we are one body in Christ. Hallelujah. Paul talks about the spiritual gifts that God has given us in 1 Corinthians 12. In verses 4 through 6, it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities in operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." He goes later on about this unity and diversity. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." It makes a difference if we've been born again or not. It makes a difference if we've been baptized in the name of Jesus. It makes a difference if we've been baptized with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And sometimes all a church really needs is that there be a renewing of the Spirit. Because sometimes we get in our own spirit and we can get out of disunity. Where it's not working together. And thank God for the unity. God's blessed this church. But some churches, sometimes they get in disunity. And what they really need is for the wind of the Holy Ghost to start moving through that place. And for people to get full of the Spirit again and realize we're baptized into one body because we were by one Spirit were we baptized into that body. And sometimes we got to get rid of this old spirit and say, I've got to have the Holy Spirit. I've got to have the Holy Ghost to direct me and give me wisdom and give me help. we celebrate our different ways of seeing things. I'm thankful we don't see it all the same way. That would be boring. That would be boring. My wife and I like to have discussions sometimes about the differences that we see things in. And we're not arguing. We're discussing, right? Oh, yeah. And as long as you see it my way, we're good, right? But it makes it exciting. And she's like, you really wouldn't want somebody that just said, oh, okay, fine, that's how you see it, that's how we'll do it. She's like, you really don't want somebody like that, do you? And you know what? She's right. Because it would be so boring. I'm glad that God's given me someone with some differences of opinion. And there's sometimes all of a sudden I see things the way, and I'm like, wow, I didn't even look at it like that, but you're right. You're right. And then there's sometimes that she's like, you know what, honey, I'm wrong. And I treasure those moments. But this is not in my notes, and I am. But thank God we're not all the same. That would be so boring. But by one Spirit, the Spirit of God, we've all been baptized into one body. That's why we can look at someone who has a different background than us. Someone who doesn't look like us. Someone who thinks very differently than we think. But we can say, hey, brother. Hey, sister. Because of Christ. Because of Christ. We're all different, but we've been baptized into one body. And there's a unity that comes when we realize that it's not us that makes up this thing. It's just all the pieces of the body that God has brought together. And I'm just glad I get to be a little part somewhere. I'm just glad that God had mercy and love enough that he reached for me where I was and he said, I've got a work for you to do and I want to make you part of my body. I want to make you part of my kingdom and I'm going to put you to work in this last day. What happens in a natural body when part of it decides to get out of sync with the rest of the body? It causes disunity in the body. Bad health, sickness, disease. It keeps the body from functioning like it should. What happens when one part of the body just decides that it's just tired of functioning like it was designed to do? And so instead it just wants to go do its own thing. That causes problems that affects the whole body. I've had things happen that it was just one little part of the body somewhere and you stubbed your toe real good. It's going to affect your whole body. Now here's the thing. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But we should all be striving to be better and to do our part in the body. Because I don't want to distract the body from its purpose. I want to work together in unity to see God's plan come to pass. And so whatever place God has given us and whatever job God has laid upon our heart and whatever calling we have, we need to make up our minds. I'm going to do my part because I want the whole body to function well. I want that engine just to be purring along because everything's in sync and everything's operating and the timing is just right and God's in control. And I'm just doing my part to be in the body. 1 Corinthians 12:15, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen. All the members of the body, they depend on one another. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you. We are joined together by the Spirit of God. And that's what brings us together. And if any part of the body is malfunctioning, it affects the whole thing. If one part is suffering, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we should all rejoice. And we've got to realize we're all connected. We're all connected. We all have our part, and we all depend on one another. And so we have to guard against letting the enemy come and use us to sow discord and division in the body. Because what we don't realize is if we let the enemy use us, if we let the enemy use us to attack the body, we're not just hurting others, we're hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. It's causing pain and heartache to our own selves. It's disrupting the unity of the body, which affects every single one of us. And so we've got to learn to pull together. We should pray for one another. Come on, we should encourage one another. When one part of the body is suffering, we ought to call them up and say, hey, I missed you this weekend. Is there anything I can pray for you about? What can I do to help? Come on, brother, you can make it through this. Come on, sister, God's brought you too far for you to go back now. Come on, we need to do our best to help the body. Doesn't mean there's going to be never any disagreements. But we have the overall commitment to one another that we're going to do whatever it takes to keep the body in unity so we can accomplish God's purpose. Back to our text, Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. And we stop reading there, but look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we all have our job to do in the body. None of us are the same. But God has placed us in his body at his pleasure. We did not get here on our own. We did not get here on our own. It was God who gave us our place. It was God who put us exactly where he needs us. And as long as we keep that in the proper perspective, we can flourish. We can flourish where God has placed us. But when we start thinking that we're in control, that we've got it all figured out of how this is going to play out and how this is going to go forward, that's a dangerous place to be. Because we didn't secure our own place in this kingdom. We're just here at his pleasure. We're just here for his pleasure. It was God who put us here. And if God needs to, he can pull us out. Come on, if God wants to, he can pull us out of service and he can go put us on a shelf somewhere until the time changes or maybe we realize that, Lord, I really did need you, and then he can put us back in his place. But he's going to get the glory. It's not us that gets the glory, but he gets the glory. He gets the honor. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Pride is very damaging. When one part of the body starts to think that it's more important than the rest, and that it can do things on its own without working in unity, thinking that, well, I need to get more attention because I'm more important. My place is more vital in the kingdom than yours is, so I need to get, or I'm more talented, or I'm more anointed. And out of pride, if any part of the body gets lifted up and wants the attention and the accolades given to it instead of to God, pride will hurt the whole body. Paul said we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Galatians 6:3 tells us, for a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Solomon wrote quite a bit about pride. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. We don't need to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Now that doesn't mean going around saying, well, I'm just so horrible, folks, and I don't know how you put up with me, and I'm just good for nothing. No, but we need a proper perspective of ourselves, a proper perspective. And how does that come? I'll tell you how it comes. It comes through times of prayer. It comes of times of prayer where you go before the Lord. You say, you know what, Lord, I do need you. I need you in every area of my life. I need you to give me strength today. I need you to deliver me. I need you to help me, Lord. Don't let me fall into temptation, but God, give me strength to stand. Lord, I pray that you would provide for my needs. I pray that you would bless my church. I pray that you bless my pastor. God, we need you today. That's how we keep a right perspective, because we realize it's not me. I'm just part of the body, and we need God's help. We get a right perspective through the Word of God. God's Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can cut, it can work, it can move on us, it can change us. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for revealing to us how He sees our lives. Prideful people don't pray. Prideful people don't spend time in the Word. Prideful people are not led by the Spirit. They think they don't need to pray. They think they've got it all figured out. And their flesh is in control. But there's a quiet strength that comes through humility. When we have a proper perspective of ourselves, but we know that, hey, God has placed us in His body for a purpose, and He has given us what we need to do the job we've been called to do. When we realize that we're only where we are in the kingdom of God because the measure of faith that He's given to us. Thank God for His purpose, and thank God for His plan. Thank God we get to be a part of the body, and I'm glad to be part of the church. I'm glad for His calling, but it's only His mercy and grace that put us here. And when we realize that, and we start to rely on His strength and His power and His wisdom and His ability, that's when the body can function smoothly and can do what we've been called to do. And God blesses unity, and God blesses that commitment. And that's when the will of God is done. So in the foreknowledge of God, He has given us the faith that we need to do what He's called us to do. Paul said, don't think of yourself too highly, but think soberly, realizing God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. We've all been given the measure of faith that we need. Within each of us, God has placed the capacity to do something great for Him. He's placed the capacity for ministry. He's put the potential in us. Everything we need is there. We just have to be willing and wise to use it for His glory. The capacity for ministry, it's in each of us to accomplish something for God. We've been given that measure of faith that we are going to need. And so we just have to be faithful in our place in the body, and we're going to be successful. Think about that today. God's called you for a purpose. God's called you for a purpose. Your life has a purpose. And God already knew what that purpose was when he called you out of this world. He knew what that plan was for your life and His will. And so God has faith in us that we can do it. So much so that He gave you everything that you need to do what you're supposed to do. If you feel like you're up against something that it's too big for you, it's more than what you can handle, no, God has already seen this time and place, and He's given you what you're going to need to make it through this. The Bible tells us God won't allow you to be tempted or to be tried beyond what we can bear, but with that temptation and with that trial, He's already prepared a way of escape. He's called you. He's prepared you. He has equipped you. And you can make it by faith. And so you got to look right back at the devil and say, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can stand by faith. My faith does not stand in the wisdom of men, but it stands in the power of God. And I'm going to make it through this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've looked at the mountain and I thought, well, my faith just isn't enough. But if we can understand the power of faith, we realize that a little faith goes a long way. Read Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Anybody got that prayer? Lord, increase my faith. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. God has given us the capacity, the potential, the calling, the faith that we need for this hour. We all have the measure of faith, but what we do with it is up to us. We are responsible for developing the potential that God has given us, the faith that He's placed in us, but we have to do our part. Somebody say, we must activate our faith. Some people, they've never put their faith into action. They've never used it. They've never put it to work. They stay where it's safe. They stay where they're in control. They go on logic and where they can figure it out. And they never experience the supernatural because they've never activated what God gave them to use. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And so somebody here today, you need to stir it up. You need to stir up that gift of faith. You need to stir up that potential that God has placed in you. You need to activate what God has already put in you for this time and this season. Come on, there are miracle opportunities in your life, but they will never come to pass if you don't say, I've got to stir up what God has given me. I cannot let this just sit here idly and just let it go to waste, but I've got to activate what God has given me to use. Hallelujah. Secondly, we have to build our faith. We've got to build our faith. Jude 1 and 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe we all pray. But do we pray in the Holy Ghost? There's a difference in praying in the flesh and praying in the Holy Ghost. Just about every time that I start out praying, I'm praying in the flesh. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Lord, I love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings, God. Thank you for your goodness. Jesus, this is the day that you've made. I will rejoice and be glad. And I'm still in my flesh. Lord, I worship you. God, I praise you. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And there's a little something starts moving. And I tell you where it really gets going. God created me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit in me. God, forgive me. I repent of every wrong thing I've done. And Lord, search my heart. God, if there's any evil way in me, cleanse me of it. And Lord, if there's any bitterness in my heart, I forgive those that have hurt me. And all of a sudden, something starts moving. And I usually go from that and I pray, Lord, I pray your will be done in my life. I pray your will be done in my family. Let the will of God be done in our church, God. Lord, let your will be. And all of a sudden, something starts happening. I start moving from the flesh, and I start moving into the spirit. Amen. If you've never learned to pray in the spirit, you are missing out. You are missing out. You've got to build your faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden the atmosphere starts changing. Whether I'm praying here at the church or at home or in my car, and I start feeling the Holy Ghost move. And all of a sudden I'm praying. It's not just me, but it's the Holy Ghost praying through me. And sometimes I pray in tongues, and sometimes I pray in English. But all of a sudden there's a difference in the atmosphere. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when I leave that place of prayer, I'm not just believing in my own strength, but my faith is increased because I know I've touched the Lord, and I know his presence is moving, and I know he heard my prayer, and I'm going to look for the miracles that he's about to do. Come on, somebody. Build up your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It'd be easy to go to that time of prayer and say, you know what, I'm not going to push today. I'm not going to push. I'm just going to stay in the flesh. But I tell you, if you'll push, you learn to pray in the Holy Ghost, it'll build up your faith. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Missing church, when we're down and we're depressed and when our faith is struggling, it's the worst thing we could do. Because in that time when our faith is struggling, we need to hear the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. Don't miss church. I preach it, I tell it, but we've got to get it. Don't miss church when you're down. You need to be there. That you need to make a commitment, because I need to hear the word of God so that my faith can be built. And then we've got to work our faith. James 2 and 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man can say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James says there's such a thing as dead faith. Dead faith. What is dead faith? It's faith that's not put to work. We don't need dead faith. We need alive faith. We need living faith. How can we tell if our faith is alive? It's going to be put to work. There's going to be some evidence. There's going to be some works that go along with our faith. If faith doesn't have any works, it's dead. If we really believe something, then we're going to follow through and act on it. If we really put our trust and our faith in God, then we're going to live our life like it. We're going to put him first. We're going to be faithful. We're going to spend time in prayer. We're going to read his word. We're going to put him first in our finances, in our family, in everything about our lives. If you haven't worked your faith lately, I tell you, it's in danger of dying. You need to take a step of faith this week. You need to pray by faith. You need to worship by faith. You need to give by faith. You need to put your faith to work. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Daniel told me yesterday, he said, well, I want to be big. I want to get big, Dad. He told me how much he weighs. He said, I'm gonna build up and get that big. And I said, Daniel, look, that's all okay. But if you don't keep working that, you know what's gonna happen to it. That's why I keep working out. Because here's what happens. When I don't work out, you start to lose it. Don't lose your faith. Keep it working. Keep that muscle working. Keep stretching. Keep believing. Hallelujah. And then Jude
Jude wrote in chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We must contend for the faith. Jude said, he started to write one letter and then he thought about something else that was very important. He said, I started this, but I got to tell you about this, that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. To contend earnestly, it's something, it's altogether different than just to try half-heartedly. The word contend comes from athletics. It's a word that describes a wrestling match. It's a strengthened form of a word that means to agonize. So to contend means to agonize over it, to put forth much effort, to struggle, to give it everything we've got. And it's continuous. It does not stop. Not until we make it to heaven, but we've got to earnestly contend for the faith because it's something that's very valuable. Amen. If you go into a museum and maybe it's an art museum and you look around and there's no guards, there's no security system, there's no cameras, you come to the conclusion pretty quick that, well, there must not be anything that's very valuable around here. Valuables are protected. Worthless things are not. I tell you, your faith is not worthless. Your faith is very valuable. You've got to protect your faith. You've got to earnestly contend for the faith. We've got to fight for it. We've got to protect it. We've got to do whatever is necessary to keep the faith. That's why I don't listen to certain people, because I don't need to hear what they've got to say. I'm protecting the faith that God has given. Amen. That's why I don't allow certain things into my home. That's why we don't go to certain places. That's why I'm separate from the world, because I've got to protect the faith. Hallelujah. Come on, God's given you a measure of faith, and God has delivered the truth to the church. We've got to protect it. It's very valuable. We've got to protect it. Earnestly contend for the faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, you don't want to lose faith today. You don't want to let your faith die. We don't want to let our faith not stand in our lives, but you need to protect it. It's worth dying for. It's worth dying for. Earnestly contend for the faith. Put your faith to work. Build your faith. Activate it in this house today, and let's see what God is going to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand in closing with me today? God has given us the faith we need. We all have the measure of faith, but it's up to us what we do with it. Hallelujah. It's up to us what we do with it. There's a new phenomenon that has overtaken many people that are dieting or trying to watch their food intake or whatever it might be. And you can go online and you can order your meals. And they'll send you a little steak and or maybe a little piece of fish or something, okay? Maybe that's more healthy. A little green beans and some broccoli, and then they'll have like a little salt, a little pepper, a little seasoning that goes in there, and then there's all the directions. Everything you need is right there. And it's really become popular. A lot of people, they don't have to go shop for extra stuff. They know everything they need is in the package right there. When you look in the mirror, everything you need to do what God's called you to do is in the package. Hallelujah. Everything's right there. But you got to just put it to work. We can't just sit back and say, well, God's already given me everything I need, so I don't have to work. I'm just going to relax and it's all going to come to pass. That's not how it comes to pass. We have to put it to work. We have to be obedient. We have to listen to the calling of God. We have to make ourselves available. We have to put ourselves on the altar. It's work, it's sacrifice. But everything you need, it's right there in the package. You just have to put it to work. So I don't know what you're facing this week. I don't know what kind of miracle you're needing in your family. I don't know what it is that you're believing for. Financial blessing, deliverance, whatever it is. But God's given you the faith that you need to see it happen. You just have to activate it. You got to stir it up. You got to build on it. Praying in the Holy Ghost by hearing the Word of God. Amen. You've got to earnestly contend for the faith. But if you will do that and you learn to live a life of faith, then God is going to take you places and show you things that you would have never, ever imagined. I just feel like somebody here today has some dreams and has some plans and some things that you feel like God's given you, but when you look at it compared to where you're at right now, you think, I could never get there. I could never see that. I could never experience that. Let me tell you, you keep on working your faith. You keep on building your faith. Come on, you keep on contending for your faith, and God's going to bring you to that place. God's going to provide. God's going to open the doors. You just keep pushing forward by faith. You keep walking by faith. You keep taking those steps of faith. Lord, I can't see the whole way there, but Lord, I see I can take one step. We'll just take one step. And then he's going to show you another step. And you just keep on praying, and you keep on believing, and you keep on working, and you keep on trusting God. And he's going to lead you all the way until eventually you're going to look back and say, I can't believe how far I've come. But it was a walk of faith. It was a journey of faith. Amen. And God gave me the faith I needed. I just had to keep on working. I had to keep on trusting in him. Come on, is there anybody, you'd make your way to the altar right now and say, I'm going to put my faith to work. That measure of faith. Oh, you don't need a whole lot. Just use what you've got. Faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody today. Maybe your faith has been struggling. Maybe your faith has come under attack. Maybe your faith, it seems weak at the moment. But somebody come and why don't you pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit here right now? Why don't you act on the Word of God and take a step of faith? Come on, why don't you put your faith into action? Stir up the gift that is in you. Lord, I believe you. I believe your word. I stand upon your promises. I make a declaration of faith here today. I will live and I will not die. I will serve the Lord. I will live in victory. I will overcome the enemy. I will overcome addiction. I will live the life that God has called me to live. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody pray a prayer by faith right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not my strength. It's not my ability, but Lord, I've got faith that you're going to bring me through. I've got faith, Lord, that you're going to help me stand. I've got faith, God, that you're going to provide the miracle. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody's building their faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep building your faith right now in the name of Jesus. Let it happen, Lord, here today.